My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is 8 Facts About Home Sweet Home. Our text, Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 5.
In 1823, John Payne wrote a song entitled Home Sweet Home. Does that describe our homes? Is it a pleasure to come home or a painful thought? Does our home radiate the love of Christ or the ways of the world? Brewster M. Hiley loved his home on the plain because seldom is heard a discouraging word and the skies are not cloudy all day. Is there unity or division in our home? Relative peace and quiet or constant strife and angry words? It is a fact that the institutions of marriage, the traditional family, and the Christian home are under attack. The enemy of the soul seeks to redefine what constitutes a marriage, suggesting alternative lifestyles and living together in place of a lifetime commitment. The traditional family of a mother, father, and children has given way to single-parent and same-sex households. The Christian home patterned after the Bible is ridiculed and laughed at. This morning, we will discuss the institution of marriage and God's pattern for the home. From the very beginning, marriage was instituted by God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to all the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Marriage was designed for those created male and female, whose union becomes one flesh for the purpose of procreation. Matthew 19, verses 4 and 5. Marriage is not an institution created and designed by man or the state. Despite public opinion, marriage is not subject to alteration by societal whims, but is regulated by Jesus and his apostles in the Word of God. Marriage is one of the holiest relationships two people can have and must not be entered into lightly. Consider Paul's admonition on the subject in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 29. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. From these 11 verses, facts about married love. First, married love is super special. Next to our love for God, married love is the highest, noblest, and most special love in the world. Second, married love separates the husband and wife from their parents. There is still a relationship between children and parents, but they must let their parents go, and their parents must let them go. Married love also separates the husband and wife from friends and associations that would harm the relationship. Third, married love is sacrificial and selfless. The willingness to sacrifice for the good of the other and place the other before self binds hearts together and makes healthy and happy homes. Four, married love serves one another. A successful marriage is one where the husband and wife are interested in the other's needs and are committed to fulfilling those needs. Fifth, married love is a spending love. The love between a husband and wife is one that spends all that they have on the other. They are willing to go the second, third, and fourth mile, not grudgingly, but willingly. Sixth, married love is spiritual, is a spiritual love, not merely romantic. It is deeper, finer, nobler, and greater because it is based on the influences of the gospel in people's lives. Seventh, married love involves suffering. If the wife suffers, the husband suffers with her, and vice versa. During moments of crisis, we set aside parties and previously scheduled activities to comfort the one we love. Number eight, married love is submissive. While the wife is to submit to her own husband, there is a mutual submission commanded in Ephesians 5, verse 21. Number nine, married love is sensitive, gentle, and kind. No room for pride or arrogance. In God's eyes, we are all the same. Tenth, married love is a sanctifying love. It is one that is chaste and pure, high and noble. There is no impurity or immorality. And finally, married love is single and focused. The husband is to love one wife, and the wife is to love one husband. Their gaze is on each other, not on other people passing by. Judge Joseph Sabbath has suggested the Ten Commandments of a successful marriage. Bear and forbear. Work together, play together, and grow up together. Avoid the little quarrels, and the big ones will take care of themselves. Compromise. Give and take. It is the antitoxin of divorce. Practice sympathy, good humor, and mutual understanding. Don't grouch before breakfast or after it. Respect your in-laws, but don't criticize them or take criticism from them. Establish your own home, even in a one-room flat. Fight for each other, but not with each other. And finally, build your home on religious faith, which with love and forgiveness as the watchword. There is not anything that brings greater satisfaction in life than a marriage patterned after God's word. Others may not understand you and want to give up on you, but knowing there is someone who will stand by your side through thick and thin is a true blessing. Let's turn our attention to God's pattern for the home by discussing Joseph's reunion with his brothers. The life of Joseph is recorded in Genesis chapter 39 through chapter 50. Joseph was put in charge of supplying food during the 7 years of drought. Jacob sends his sons to Egypt for food, and the brothers come in contact with the one they sold into slavery. After testing their repentance, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers in Genesis chapter 45. Let me suggest eight fundamental principles about the home that we can learn from this family reunion. First, Joseph shows us the importance of privacy. Verse 1, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." There were painful memories and broken relationships that needed to be discussed. The Egyptians would not understand what was taking place. Joseph was not going to discuss family issues before the world. The Christian home needs an element of privacy. One of the unfortunate things that has developed in our day is social media, the invasion of privacy into people's lives. Television is full of reality shows. We want to see what goes on behind closed doors. People today post all types of nonsense on Facebook. "I broke up with this person," "having a bad day," "upset over this or that," "look at this delicious meal I'm about to eat." The world does not have a right to know about our intimate feelings and the problems our family is dealing with. Home ought to be a place where a husband and wife can work through the issues of life in confidence. Home ought to be a place where children and parents can talk openly and honestly to each other. Parents should let their children know that although they might not approve of their actions, they can talk about anything. "I will listen and try to help." Yet how many families have to turn elsewhere to talk about their problems? Although there is nothing wrong with confiding in others, our friends don't have any business knowing what is said in our homes. Second, home should be a place of tenderness, affection, and love. Verse 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. These were tears of tenderness and strong affection. Position and status were cast aside. Joseph and his brothers were all on the same level. Home should be a place where emotions can be expressed freely and encouraged. A place where manliness is not questioned when you cry watching Little House on the Prairie. Is there tenderness and kindness in our homes? Do we rejoice and weep with each other, or do we teach our children that only the weak shed tears? Number 3, home should be a place of understanding and forgiveness. Verses 4 and 5. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." You would think that the brothers would have been overjoyed when Joseph revealed himself, but they were afraid that Joseph would hold a grudge against them. Instead of being bitter about the past, Joseph understood that God's plan and purpose were being worked out in his life for the benefit of all mankind. Joseph tries to soothe their conscience with tender, affectionate words. Is our home a place of understanding? Can mistakes and weaknesses be freely admitted without hearing what is wrong with you? There are not any perfect people. If you don't believe that, just look in the mirror. When folks are dating, they think each other are perfect, and each one tries to encourage the other to believe that. Young ladies, guys are on their best behavior when dating. Please and thank you. Open the car door, and plenty of "I love you." And then they get married and learn that what they were led to believe was far from true. We don't have a problem dealing with the good characteristics of other people, just their warts and blemishes. The success of a marriage turns on learning how to deal with the imperfections of others. Understanding that we all come from different backgrounds and family environments is crucial to the success of a successful marriage and a happy home. Understanding that our children face temptations that we never faced at that age is vital to the parent-child relationship. Let me ask you a question. How much has God forgiven us of? Everything. Once forgiven, does God continue to remind us of our sins? No. If God has forgiven me of everything, which of your sins am I justified to hold on to? Having seen their penitence and change in attitude, Joseph let his brothers know that the past was in the past. Is our home a place of forgiveness, or do we bury the hatchet with the handle sticking up for quick reuse? Once we say, "I forgive you," do we commit willful sin by reminding the other of faults and mistakes that God has forgiven? Home is a place where we come to understand the weaknesses and frailties of our spouse and our children. If there is to be happiness in the home, we must be patient, forgiving as God has forgave us, and then remember those sins no more. Number four, home should be a place of service. Verse 7, "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives with a great deliverance." Joseph saw his life as one serving his family. Jesus said, "He who would be the greatest among you, let him be servant of all." This is a general principle that applies everywhere, including the home. Are we the king of the castle or one of many servants? Are we delusional if dinner is not on the table by 5, or are we willing to boil some water? Most lessons learned in life are carried out in the home. We should see home not as a place to be served, but as a place to serve others. Number 5, home should be a place where we learn respect. Verse 9, "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry.'" In spite of being second to Pharaoh, Joseph had not changed. Jacob was still his father. Children need to respect their parents, and parents need to respect their children. Respect for parents begins with parents showing respect for God by faithfully obeying His word. The child that does not learn to respect their parents will not respect their teachers in school, law enforcement, the government, or other people. And then again, Joseph had fond memories of his years at home with his dad. Home ought to be a place of precious memories, lessons that were learned, and cherished associations. Linda asked me to name one of my favorite childhood memories. All I can remember was the fussing, fighting, and ugly divorce. How tragic when our home life brings memories of pain and not joy and satisfaction. I wish my father would have taken me hunting and done other cool stuff with me. I wish I would have taken my wife's advice and done more with my children as they were growing up. But I did not. For those of us who have failed our children, let us not make the same mistake with our grandchildren. Growing up, I didn't like going to church. Along with preaching the truth in love, let us make our young people here feel super special by doing things with them outside the church. For many today, home is nothing more than a hotel. Did you ever enjoy staying at a hotel? How did it compare to home? In this fast-paced world, our home is nothing more than a place to eat and sleep. Does this describe our home? Do we work together, play together, and grow up together? Do we have fun with our wife and children, or does work come first? Do our young people enjoy coming to church, or must they sit still, be quiet, and don't run? Number 7, home should be a place of great reward. The famine brings this whole family together in dealing with the past. All of these problems could have destroyed this good family. Then Joseph makes himself known, and look at the rich reward that came out of it.
The title of our message is
called Work Than Being a Good Parent, Son or Daughter. Yet there is no greater reward than building a home based on biblical principles. The ability to install in our children faith and fidelity brings rewards that are worth more than silver and gold. We have tried our best to train up our children in the way that they should go, with the prayer that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Like all parents, we will soon find out if our children remain faithful to the Lord. And finally, home should be a place where parents are cared for. Verse 11, there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine. Genesis chapter 47, verses 11 and 12. And Joseph situated his father and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Then Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all his family's household with bread according to the number in their family. Before his death, Jesus made provisions for his mother. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by her, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. John 19, verses 26 and 27. As difficult as our home life may have been, do we appreciate the sacrifice of our parents? Is it our responsibility to care for them? Or, like the Pharisees, do we say to our parents, "Whatever profit you may have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift to God"? The way we treat our parents in their old age may dictate the way we are treated when our time comes. God help our marriages and our homes to be grounded in the truth of God's Word.